Hello, welcome again to this time of worship together. Stuart and Jodie here at Carey Baptist Church here in Moulton. Welcome to our church family and to our wider cyber congregation who listen online. I know you listen from further afield and we're glad to have you all here. But let's commit this time in prayer to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the ability to communicate with people from within the Northampton and Moulton area and also further afield, that we can pray together, listen to your word together, worship together. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would connect each one of us, wherever we are, with each other and with you, that your Holy Spirit would blow through these words and speak and challenge and comfort us in these difficult times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jodie's going to bring our scripture reading, which is Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61.
It's titled The Year of the Lord's Favour. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord, and you will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations.
Thank you, Jodie, for that reading. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we reflect on worship and what that means practically in our lives today, that your Spirit would encourage and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week is the third in our short mini-series on worship, and this is going to be the final week. It was just looking at what does worship entail and how we should worship and the relationship between worship and justice. And today we're going to look more about the practical application about how worship and justice are related. Last week it was looking more at the scripture and looking at God wanting justice and not just wanting our songs. So this week is a more of a practical application of last week's theory. How do we practice justice, and how do we walk humbly with God, and what does that look like in practice? And it's going to be a joint effort today with me and Jodie, and Jodie's going to bring a bit of her experience of worship with Girls Brigade and some further reflections as part of this sermon and teaching together. So over to you now, Jodie.
Okay, well, when Stuart told me that we were going to look practically at how we worship, particularly in this time when we're not meeting together in church, what came to my mind was a video that I made for the Girls Brigade back in June last year when we were in the first lockdown. Now, at that time, we weren't meeting on Zoom or as a company face to face, but we were sending out materials each week, sheets for the girls, worksheets for the girls to work through, along with videos that we've made to accompany that. And this video was about what is worship. And we've taken the sound off of the video, so you won't be watching the video, but you will be hearing the video. And this is what I said to the girls back in June about what is worship. Hello girls, and welcome to week 10 of Girls Brigade at Home. This week's theme is all about worship. So instead of an activity challenge, I thought I would do a little devotional video about worship. We all worship. Now I can hear some of you thinking, no, I don't worship. Worship is a thing that you do when you go to church or a parade service, and I don't do that. Well, you are right, and that worship is something we do when we go to church, but we don't have to be in church to worship. And like I said, worship is something we all do, whether it's worshipping God, like in church, or whether it's worshipping something else. Now, let me give you an example from something that I saw on the TV this week, and you might have seen it too. On Monday, the non-essential shops were allowed to open again, like clothes shops and things like that. And the news reported on the queues of people who were waiting to get into the shops in town. The queues went right down the length of the high street before the shops had even opened. And the news reporter spoke to some of the people in the queue, and they said things like this. I got the day off work just to come. I'm really excited. I need a really good shopping spree. It's good to be back. It seems like forever since I've been in a clothes shop. And one woman even said, in this shop is a handbag that I've been thinking about all through the lockdown. Now I can finally come and buy it. Now, there's no doubt that shopping is important to these people. In particular, this handbag was important to one lady. The people in the shopping queue were choosing to do something, like stand in a long queue hours before the shop opened, which show how important shopping is to them. Their behaviour was giving value and honour to shopping. In one case, giving value and honour to a particular handbag. This is what worship is. It's choosing to do something that gives honour and value or worth, that's where we get the word worship, giving worth to someone or something. Now the people on the news were worshippers of shopping, and their behaviour showed it. As Christians, we're worshippers of God, and our behaviour should show that. It means that we do things which give honour and value to God, to give God his worth. This includes things like going to church, but it can be all kinds of things outside church too. If an activity shows how much you love and want to honour God, then it's worship. I wonder, what do you do that is worship? So this week's Girls Brigade at Home activity sheets are all about how Christians worship God, and they give you some ideas of how you could do some worship of God at home. Okay, hope you enjoy and have a good week. Bye!
Thank you, Jodie, for that input, looking at worship and what that means to us. Giving glory to God is worship, and we do that in the whole of our lives. Worship that is worthy to God's kingdom, that brings about his purposes. And this is where it fits in with our reading from Isaiah, which Jesus takes up at the beginning of his ministry in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and following, which I'll read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. It's interesting when Jesus takes up these words from Isaiah 61, he misses out a bit, actually. He misses out the bit in verse 2 that talks about, and the day of the vengeance of our God. So he misses out the vengeance bit, which I think he did on purpose, because it wasn't about bringing God's vengeance. It was about bringing God's favor and God's freedom and God's jubilee. So at the start of Jesus's mission and ministry, his worship was offering his life, and the Spirit of God was coming down upon him. And what was the Spirit doing? It was anointing him to proclaim good news to the poor, sending him to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom to the captives and release to the prisoners, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee. So the worship and the mission here was about freedom and liberation and binding up the brokenhearted, which is all important to us in our present context when we think about many people who have broken hearts and many people who need to know freedom at the moment, even within the limitations which we ourselves face at this time. So mission and worship go hand in hand in this context. Earthing it a bit, how do we worship God in these times when we cannot gather together on a Sunday in our church building? I think we can learn things from other Christian traditions. I've been quite influenced by Ignatian spirituality, which comes from the Roman Catholic Jesuits. And St. Ignatius of Loyola talked about seeing and finding God in all things and all circumstances. And that means we're not limited to when we come to church to gather as a people. We can find God in the whole of creation and in the whole of our activities. And I'm reminded also about Brother Lawrence, who was a writer in the 16th century, who talked about practicing the presence of God. And he worked in the kitchens. And he said he would be just as aware of God amongst the pots and pans when he was doing the washing up than when he was in the chapel with his brother monks praying and worshipping God. And that's important at this time when we can't gather in church. We can still find the sacredness or the presence of God in all the activities that we do. This week at our prayer and share gathering on Zoom on Wednesday, Graham Fletcher was talking about when he was in hospital, and he'd just come out of hospital from an operation. He remembered seeing a cleaner who was working hard and cleaning the floor, and everything was going around that cleaner, and nobody was paying any attention to her. But Graham noticed her and the work that she was doing. And I would say God noticed her and the work that she was doing. We can do anything for God. We can sweep the floor for God. We can wash the dishes for God. We can make meals for God. We can hoover the house for God. Any of these normal mundane activities we can do for God. We can paint the wall for God. And we can find God in all these activities if we do them from the right spirit and the right motivation. That God is to be found in all these activities if we are open to him and open to his presence with us.
So I'm going to come in at this point. What I've been thinking is that being housebound is no longer, or not at the moment, the preserve of the very elderly and the infirm. It used to be those people who were housebound, but at the moment it's pretty much all of us. We're in our homes, limited to what we can do in our homes, so watching TV, doing things on the internet, doing our shopping, going out for our daily exercise. For some of us, managing homeschooling and working from home, or just pottering around. And it's easy to think that it's so mundane. How can I find the worship in that? How can I respond to the call that justice should be involved in my worship? But I often think about this. When I'm doing my shopping, for an example, if I'm choosing the cheapest product, am I asking myself, or I do ask myself, am I choosing it because it's cheap? Have I asked, why is it cheap? Has anyone along the production line of that product suffered an injustice in order for it to be so cheap for me to buy? Have the workers been treated well and paid fairly? Has the earth and our environment suffered in any way? Maybe there's a lot of plastic or nothing recyclable, or chemicals that are harmful to the environment. And I ask myself and I challenge myself, can I buy something that is a little bit more pricey, but that I know will be more of a just product? That proclaims good news for the poor, good news for the environment, good news for the independent retailer in the face of global giants like Amazon. And maybe the answer to that is no, because my budget doesn't allow. But in that case, then I say, well, what can I do? Can I write to the supermarket and say, I would like to see a more just approach to their pricing, or to see more fair trade products in their supermarkets? So I try and question myself, even just the mundane things that I'm doing about the house. Is there a justice issue involved in my decisions? Do my purchases and my lifestyle choices proclaim good news for the poor? Good news for our planet and the environment? Or am I just blindly consuming because that's convenient for me? And I also think about things like when we're watching things on the television, films, TV programs, and listening to things on the radio, looking at things online. Is what I'm watching in line with my kingdom values? Is it an act of worship? Am I living a life that reflects the fact that I want to honor God and worship God? So I think, let's not think we're just housebound and we can't do anything. Actually, we can question a lot of the things that we're doing and making sure that they are just and fair and in line with the kingdom values that we say we want to live by. That our behaviour really is proclaiming good news for the poor and the year of the Lord's favour.
Okay, thanks, Jodie. And we can ask God to open our eyes and our ears to respond to this challenge, that he would cultivate a willing heart amongst us to respond to him in the little things of life. And perhaps you could share ideas on social media or the Carey Facebook page about things that we found helpful, or ideas or causes or charities that we can support at this time. So this small series is about looking at developing new worship practices which are lockdown friendly and which can be sustainable during this time of lockdown, which is going to probably go on for the next couple of months anyway, and also after, things that we've learned, things that have helped us to grow in our relationship with ourselves, with other people, with God's creation, and with God himself. Some of the things that I find particularly helpful is going out and cycling each day, and sort of I find that's an opportunity to pray and reflect as I go. And as I pass people's houses in the congregation, I remember them and pray for them. And the beauty of creation. Also, I'm not a great gardener, but it's been good to go out and see the birds and to put food out for them on the bird feeder and to engage with God's creatures in that way. And you might be arty and crafty. I know Jodie's done a lot of crocheting and made lots of presents for Christmas for people, and she continued with that. It's not something I'm particularly good at, but some of you may be arty and crafty and can do that. But also about how it's related to justice in this time when we've been locked down. We've been reminded of our interconnectedness in the world. We think of what happened in the United States with the murder of George Floyd and Black Lives Matter. We think of our relationship with climate change and God's creation at this time, and also the frontline workers and the NHS and how we're dependent on them. We should be praying and interceding and supporting them. So the challenge to me and to you at this time is to grow a sustainable worship life that isn't dependent upon gathering on Sundays. Yes, we miss that, and we long for the time when we can come back together together. But we need to develop a daily spirituality that sustains us with prayer and meditation and finding God in all things, in creation, in other people, in culture, in worship, and not just inside a church building when we gather on a Sunday morning. Let us pray. Father, help us to worship you with the whole of our lives, not just with our songs on a Sunday, but with our actions, with the way that we use our money and our time, with the products that we consume and buy, in our relationships with other people, both our neighbours at home and globally. May our lives reflect your kingdom priorities and be a blessing to you and to others in the furthering of your kingdom purposes in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now the Archer household, or members of the Archer household, are going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
Dear God, we grieve. We grieve for those who have died. We grieve with those who were not able to be present at the end. We grieve not quite able to comprehend the numbers. Help us to keep on believing that every life is held in your love, in your mercy, and in your memory. We pray for healing for those still unwell. We pray for strength for hospital staff who have been witnesses to so much suffering. We pray for comfort for those bereaved. We pray for the efficacy for the vaccine to protect. We pray for the long night to end and a new dawn to come. Amen.
Thank you, Archer family, for your prayers of intercession. And thank you to those of us, or those of you who have joined us online. We do appreciate that you gather together with us, because it's hard and we feel disconnected at times. So we do appreciate that you have taken the time and effort to join with us in worship. I'd like to close by saying the grace to you. And if you want to say it to each other while you're at home, then do join in. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. So thanks for joining with us, and hopefully be with you online next week. Go well and God bless.